All right, it's great to have you with us as we welcome in Vince Cotroneo, one of the play-by-play voices of Oakland A's Radio, a dear friend. He knows the game of baseball. Vinny, how are you?
Marty, good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Very well, very well. As you know, first of all, for you guys, for you and the captain, Ken Korak, this is a road trip, and I think this is your first one, right?
That's correct. Thankful to be seeing the field in front of us, looking at a monitor. You know, it's tough for everybody, and everybody's trying to do the best they can. But the best way for us to do our job is to be down on the field to talk to players and coaches and have the field in front of us. And this is the first time for both Ken and I. It was enjoyable last night, great energy, chance to kind of, you know, play off of 36,000 people and all the drama of every pitch, especially with the rivalry between the A's and the Giants. It was fun to be a part of, and it was sorely missed, and thankful that we're getting a chance to do it.
All right. Well, it's another beautiful night for baseball in San Francisco. Vince Cotroneo with us. Vinny, let's talk about the A's a little bit. Last night, they had their chances. Matt Olson had a couple of chances and actually hit one pretty well out there to center field. But that was the story of the game. The A's just didn't come through with the hit when they needed it because Minaya pitched a heck of a game.
Yeah, he's grown as a pitcher, Marty. He would merit some all-star consideration. He's having a solid first half. He's maintaining velocity now throughout the course of the game, which is something he really had trouble with almost from the beginning he came to the A's from the Royals. That's not a concern anymore. He's tightened up his mechanics, much more repeatable delivery. I think he's mentally stronger than he's ever been. He's really matured right before our very eyes, and he certainly deserved it to have a little more support. That was the same thing over the weekend in New York against the Yankees. He struck out 11. In less than six innings, but he left with just a 1-0 lead, and that was too precarious for the bullpen to get that many outs and try to nail down the win. It didn't happen then. And, you know, he makes, you know, an 0-2 pitch that turns out to be a double, you know, and then the soft single to left center by Brandon Crawford. And, you know, that was basically the ball game. And I've said for years, and I've joked about it, but the late insertion in the lineup is the guy you've really got to be fearful of for whatever reason. Kirk Casale was that guy last night. He, you know, he replaces Buster, who was a late scratch because of the back stiffness, and he comes in, hits a second home run that, you know, 1-0 turned into about 10-0 with that swing, and it's just tough for the A's to get anything going. Cueto was masterful last night. Did a great job with his shimmy shake and his pauses and his quick pitches and command of his pitches, especially the changeup, and the A's just couldn't figure him out.
Well, Chapman, Vinny, he's a Silver Slugger Award winner or Platinum Glove or whatever else you want to give him. I mean, he's a tremendous player, but boy, at the plate, he looks like a different hitter. What happened to him? Because he was in the middle of a couple of these things. Hey, if Minaya didn't get a couple of hits, it would have been a different story. So what's up with Chapman?
No, you're right. I mean, the A's, like you said, had Chapman and Olson both up twice with men on base, the guys you're counting on, and neither one was able to deliver except for a scratch infield hit from Chapman last night. Now, Matt's actually made some progress. I mean, he's hit the ball better for an extended period of time. Once he cleared a hurdle mentally about his right hip, his back hip. He had surgery on it September of last year, was not available for the A's in the postseason. And he said he got into some bad habits, and those festered a little bit of spring training and even into the beginning of 2021. And try to work through those things, but he is more than just the arm swinger that we saw quite a bit in the first, you know, 7 weeks of the season. I think he was just trying to find the right way to use the back half and use his legs, which are so important to any hitter's swing, especially a guy that counts on power. He spent a lot of time talking with guys like Kyle Seager, who's the same thing. His back hip, you know, the driving hip starting the swing, a power guy, and what the process was. I think we can all agree that Buster Posey taking a year off has done wonders for him, and Chapman doesn't have that luxury. I mean, he's certainly younger than Posey, but I think it's just taken some time, and I think we're starting to see that now. He's starting to do the kind of things that remind you of Chapman from 2019, but it's taken a while.
Vinny, when I opened up the show today, I talked about both teams as potential playoff teams, and in the National League, I think the National League West will have three teams, and I think the rest of the league is still fighting it out to figure out who they are, and they've really been quite mediocre. But this American League, I mean, if the A's don't win the division, this is not a slam dunk to get in the playoffs. The A's have got they'd have to really get some wins under their belt here to sort of hold off this American League East.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, I mean, I think Boston and Tampa Bay are there to stay. We don't know what to expect from Toronto, as exciting as their team is, and, you know, triple crown threat in Vlad Guerrero, who the A's saw up close to the Coliseum a few weeks ago. I mean, those guys are exciting. They're a fun team to watch. And we'll just see if they have the wherewithal, you know, to kind of get them to where they want to be. And, I don't know what to think about the Yankees. The A's just played them last weekend, and they didn't look that great, even though they took 2 out of 3 from the Athletics. But they didn't mash the ball. They're heavy, right-handed, dominant offensively. They don't run the bases that well. They're not that athletic. I mean, I wouldn't count on the Yankees. And the other team you got to keep an eye on, to a certain degree, is Cleveland, because they, in some respects, are like the A's. They find a way to be in the mix to the very end. But I still like the A's chances. They're 2 back right now of the Astros, who lost today in game 1 of their doubleheader. Long way to go. They'll finish the season with 3 games in Houston. That may or may not determine who wins the West. I mean, the A's pitching staff, particularly the starting staff, it can stand up to anybody in the American League right now. And I think that's the encouraging thing. You know this, Marty. It's pitching what gets you to the championship. And the A's have that right now. They certainly could use some help in the bullpen. They probably could use another bat, particularly in the outfield. And we'll see, you know, how Billy Bean and David Force make that happen before the trade deadline. You cover the A's for 100 years, Marty. You know, when they are in contention, they are not afraid to be aggressive to make a move. And I certainly anticipate the A's will do something along those lines to help this ball club. And you still have the wild card of Jesus Luzardo. You know, he's got to become a factor for this club. He's too talented a pitcher. His stuff is too dynamic for it to be languishing at AAA. He's got to figure it out. And the A's have got to figure out what's best for him, which would be best for the A's.
All right, Vince Catronio with us. It's actually been 85 years that I did the A's broadcast, but not quite 100.
You and Connie, you're really close.
That's correct. Me and Ray Fossey, we were going to the Hall of Fame together. You know that. The A's have been linked to Trevor Story a little bit. I know you're not nuts about that. Elvis Andrus at short. Trevor Story could help.
On paper, he can, certainly. I mean, who wouldn't want a player of that caliber? I mean, I will say this, Marty, is that Elvis has fit in tremendously with the A's. And I'll be the first to tell you in the first 6 weeks of the season that, yeah, that's the move you needed to make. But through all that stuff, I mean, 12 years in the big leagues and, you know, going to 2 World Series, Elvis brings a lot to the table, and he brings a lot of veteran presence and a lot of calmness. And even for himself, as he was struggling, and look, 143 is 143. That was his batting average until like the first week of May, and he's turned it around since then. He's made every play, and I would argue with you, he's made some plays that Marcus Semien would not be making, even though Marcus was a Gold Glove finalist 2 years ago and certainly an integral part of the A's success for the past several years. Elvis is good inside that clubhouse. You know, you're talking about a dynamic player in Trevor Story, and what it would cost to get him. I'm not convinced, Marty, that the Rockies are going to move him. They've got an interim general manager. He's not going to make the move. So it has to come from ownership. And my guess is ownership is trying to debate what's better for them. Who are they going to get from an organization or the compensation pick they'll get once Trevor leaves via free agency after the 2021 campaign. So I don't think it's a slam dunk that Story is a guy that's available for the A's or for anybody. But he is an intriguing player. But for me, I would look more toward the bullpen and maybe look toward an outfield bat, which I think would be more important for the Athletics.
Yeah, trades in midseason aren't what they used to be. You don't get the big haul anymore. It's a whole different story, so to speak. All right, what about Frankie Montas? I talked a little bit about him in the open, high-velocity guy. Sometimes off the plate, he's got 87 strikeouts, 82 innings. But righties have hit him at 290, better than lefties. What's up with Frankie Montas?
He can't stay away from the big inning. Marty, that's what I see. I mean, he has trouble where a run turns into 3 before you can blink. And, you know, 5 runs in the first inning, his last start against the Rangers. Now, granted, some of those were, you know, opposite field hits or late hits or whatever the case might be. But they torched him. I mean, between Brock Holt all the way down to Willie Calhoun, everybody was getting on base with either a hit or a walk. And the next thing you know, the A's were in a deep hole. Now, to his credit, he hung in there and gave the A's some innings, which they needed. But then, you know, you can't allow the team to add on, and they did with a 3-run homer from Jose Trevino. He has tremendous stuff. I mean, 97, 98 with sink when it's right. And the sinker's been really good lately. The split and the slider are still You know, there are days where the split reminds you of the first half of 2019. I think the slider's been really inconsistent. This is a guy that certainly he catches your imagination, because you look at the radar gun readings and you see those numbers, and then you say it's got to be better. And he walks off the field and he's given up more runs than you had anticipated. And that's kind of where he is with the A's right now. I mean, an ERA just under 5 for Frankie Montas is an ERA that belongs to the back half of the rotation. And as good as his stuff is, it should be better. And he's got to prove that consistently for the A's, and hopefully that'll start tonight.
All right, well, we'll see what Frankie Montas brings to the table. With runners in scoring position, 303, with two out, runners in scoring position, 241. So it's out of the stretch, and usually guys who have trouble with command get in trouble when they have to go into the stretch. What do you think about what baseball's doing with all these inspections and all that stuff? Have they inspected you yet?
No, they haven't come up to the booth yet, thankfully. But we're clean, I'll tell you that. Both myself and Ken are clean. I think they were preemptive by making the announcement back in June that, you know, this was going to happen in early June. And then you saw the spin rates dropping around the league. You saw the batting averages going up and strikeouts going down and things of that nature. I mean, I think it, to a certain degree, has served its purpose. How much longer we see this dance of the starting pitcher coming off the mound and being checked, or will we have another incident like we had with Joe Girardi and Max Scherzer? I'm not sure. I think just the announcement itself may have served its purpose, and the first guy that may get ejected for this is got to be the dumbest guy on the planet to have it happen to him, you would think. And I'm not so sure it's going to happen, but you know, baseball just felt like those numbers were just so off the charts that they had to do something now instead of saying, well, we should have done this back in spring training, or we should wait till after the season is over to look into 2022. I think they felt like with their data that it was just so dramatic with the changes and so much lack of offense. That something needs to be addressed, and clearly it's something that's been in the game for a long time, and now they've got to find a way to control it, and they've got to find a way to come to a conclusion and a compromise with the players. What is some kind of collection of whatever, rosin and some other product that they can use around the league, and that's something they could be consistent with, and we're not there yet. You know, I talked a couple nights ago on the air about this ball mutter machine that a guy is working on in Arlington, Texas, and it muds up the ball consistently. It can also detect foreign substances. Seems like this guy has at least one of the answers to help get this done. If I'm Major League Baseball, I'm signing a contract and telling this guy to build as many of these machines as he can, and at least that's a start in the right direction.
All right, I like the Delaware mud. Put more mud on the ball. And that,
yeah, but what are they putting the mud on, and who's putting the mud on, and how consistent is it, Marty? You know it's not. It's far from an exact science. And in this sport, which has now begun to be so data heavy and so reliant on data, why not use something that gives you something consistent that everybody can see is the same in Colorado, that it is in Miami, that it is in Pittsburgh, that it is in Oakland, as it is in San Francisco, as it is in Kansas City? I think that's what everybody would like to see happen.
I know, but that's not baseball. And Rob Manfred, every time makes a decision, it's really not baseball. We don't operate like that. What do you think about the All-Star uniforms, Rob Manfred's latest foray into the PR world?
I think they need to go to the same place that those baseball caps went to when they were announced about a month ago, and they disappeared in about a half a day. I don't like them. I mean, you know, we all love watching the All-Star game. As a fan of that particular player of that team, you want to see your team's colors. It's not that hard. I mean, why are people getting involved making these kind of decisions to bland up the game? Just like the players' weekend uniforms. Remember those? They were all white a couple of years ago. That was a disaster as well. I mean, let's have some fun. Let's do it the right way. All-Star game is all about the colors of the team's uniforms, and let's enjoy that. I think they should celebrate that, and I don't think they make that decision before the All-Star game this year, but I think they should.
All right, I've worked you over enough. Bill Lasky, you got any questions? Bill, how are you?
I'm good. Good afternoon, Marty. Good afternoon, Vince. Nice hearing you and talking baseball. I agree with you with the All-Star uniforms. You know, you do the batting practice. You can do all the different things you want to do there. But when it comes to the game, you want to see your team. You want to see you're honored with those colors. And I agree with you, Vince. But the question I want to ask you, Mark Canha, of course, is on the IL. I want to talk about this little spark plug the A's have in Tony Kemp. Of course, he came He started with Houston, a little bit with the Cubs, 29 years old. Had a good year last year in 2020, hit 285. This year he was hitting over 300, down a little bit, 288, four home runs. But this is your leadoff hitter. This is the table setter. Tell me a little bit more about Mr. Tony Kemp.
He's getting a lot of opportunities, Bill, for sure, and he's made the most of it. I mean, his playing time has been dictated by performance. Bob Melvin has always talked about that, either with Tony or somebody else that gets chances inside the lineup or batting in a certain place in the lineup. There was a stretch where he was very aggressive early in the count and did a lot of damage driving the ball to right. But Tony Kemp is a guy that does work the count. His on-base percentage is over 400. I mean, he's doing everything he possibly can, you know, in a situation where he's been made to feel comfortable by his manager. He basically said, be Tony Kemp. And, you know, I think that's something that has helped the A's. The thing that's, to me, that's disappointing about this series, Bill, is that Mark Canna, who's a Bay Area guy, Stephen Piscotty, who's a Bay Area guy, they're both on the IL, and they both have performed well in the series before. And you miss having that backstory as these games develop. And, I've seen him. Mark Canna has had some big games here in San Francisco against the Giants, and that's going to be, you know, missing this weekend, and that's unfortunate for the A's. In the meantime, typically, an extra guy like a Tony Kemp, you say, well, he can kind of hold down the fort for 3 or 4 days or maybe a week, but the weaknesses are going to appear, and you're going to see why that person is the backup player. Well, Tony has not been that. He's been a force for the A's. He's created. He's not an automatic out. You can't knock the bat out of his hand these days. He's hitting the ball hard. He uses his legs. He gets on base. He creates. And that's something the A's need right now. They're trying to find some consistency in their offense. And he's been a big reason why. And I'll throw one other thing out to you too, Bill and Marty, in regard to the All-Star game. I am a proponent of, if a team, let's say the Orioles or the Pirates or Colorado, has one player that's represented in the All-Star game, that player has to be guaranteed to get in the game, to me. Mm-hmm. That player has got to get a chance to play. If the other teams have two or three or four players that, you know, somebody's going to be representing the Astros or the Dodgers or the Giants or whoever, or the A's, if that team has one player, Trey Mancini's got to play, or, you know, whatever the case might be, whoever the person is, he's got to get in the game for me.
All right. I like it. That's a good issue. I like it. Get everybody into the game. Vinny, you may call a cycle for Tony Kemp. Can he hit the ball out of the park?
Boy, I tell you what, he's hit four this year. So the answer is yes. And wouldn't that be exciting? Now, there have been some cycles here by the A's. Eric Burns did it back in 03, so it would be a great thrill for me to call a cycle. I called one, you know, with Mark Ellis with a broken bat flare to center with a single.
I know, so, you did that reluctantly, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, he got an extra inning. He got an extra at bat. So,
all right.
It was a great moment for baseball, let me tell you.
I tease you because I know it's not your favorite. All right, one last thought for you. What do you think of the Giants? I know you're, of course, getting to see them live now, but what do you think about this season of 2021?
Well, I mean, having not seen them up close and wondering, you know, why the Giants are where they are, and you can see, you know, with great pitching, they catch the ball, they have just enough hitting, they certainly match you up very, very well, where they get the matchup mid-game, and I think that's impressive for Gabe and his staff. It's a very balanced team. They hit lefties and righties. I mean, I think they've just done a really good job with this collection of players at this point. And based on that, it should be no surprise as you look at it now why they are where they are. And they've, you know, they've went out there and they've got it done, Marty. That's, you can say what you want about the schedule. They had an easy schedule for the first two and a half months of the season. But you play who's on your schedule, and you got to beat those teams. And they've done a pretty good job. They've held their own with the Dodgers, held their own with the Padres, and I think it'll be an interesting race all the way down to the end.
Good weekend series. We got this game, of course, tomorrow. Cole Irvin and Sammy Long, and then three more over in Oakland in August. So, Vinny, great to have you on. Vinny and I used to do this every Saturday night, baseball Saturday night.
Baseball with them.
Those are fun days, Marty.
That's the
Those
captain.
Fun days.
All right. Nice to have you on, Vinny.
Thanks,
care.
Vince.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Be well. See you soon.
Okay. All right. Yeah, Vinny and I used to do that every Saturday night.
He's great. I tell you what, though. Marty, you're showing your age pretty good if you did 100 years with the A's. Oh, my goodness.
Really? And that was just in the first lifetime. You know, it was Connie Mack and me. That was it.
There you go.
That was it.
That was good. That was good stuff right there. He really outlined it well.